Hello and welcome to the webinar. This is Jeff McDonald and today we're talking about how to create your visual marketing plan. And I guess it's not really a webinar. We did that a couple of weeks back and the recording didn't turn out, so I'm doing a re-recording. And in fact, I've already done this twice and it hasn't worked, so this one feels like it's a bit jinxed, but let's have another go. I think this is take five. So, how to create your visual marketing plan. And before we start, there's a link on the screen here on the slide. If you want to go to that link and download a document, it's a PDF, it has two pages in it, and print both those pages, it'll be a useful template for what we're going to talk about today. And if you're not able to do that, just make sure you've got to grab yourself a pen and a bit of paper and you'll be able to draw the curve and the ladder that we're going to talk about. So if you need to, stop the recording and go and grab that printout right now. Otherwise, if you're ready, let's go. So, how to create your visual marketing plan. I'm Jeff McDonald, often known as the Ideas Architect. Sometimes people know me also as the Book Wrapper from previous projects. And today we're coming to you from Ideas Marketing. And the whole idea is to design, build, and sell your idea. Normally, on a webinar, we'd be taking questions, so we'll skip that today, given there's no audience here and I'm just recording this for replay sake. Let's jump in. So, your idea, your marketing plan. So, traditional marketing plans, I think they're limited from the point of view that I know when I've done them, they've always finished up in a drawer or on my computer and I haven't used them. So, pretty much today, we want to counter that. And also we want to look at traditional marketing is generally driven by the product or service, and then you want to package an idea around that product or service to sell it. So it's a bit like having a piece of chocolate and putting a gold wrapper on it. The thinking, the clever bit, is often merely in the packaging and not enough of it in the idea. So we're going to look at a different approach today. The first piece is why we need a visual marketing plan is because we want to get it outside of our heads and up on the wall or something like that so we can actually see it and be reminded of it every day. And this is a great example I found in the internet, and it was from our previous webinar on Scott Belsky's book, Making Ideas Happen. And this clever person had put up a calendar on their wall and they could see quite clearly, visibly, how their month was planning out. So very much visual, you can see it, you can also manage. So that's why we need a visual marketing plan rather than those ones that hide in drawers and computers. The second piece is around ideas marketing. It's a different way of thinking because essentially you're starting with an idea and then building products or services that allow that idea to live or be fulfilled in the world. So it's a different way of thinking about it. So therefore, you don't want to do a traditional marketing plan, you want an ideas marketing plan, and we're going to go through the basis of that today. And it's based on a manifesto. So manifesto, public declaration of your idea. And you can use different words for this. Essentially, a manifesto, in the traditional sense, was used by political revolutionaries and artists to basically say, hey, this is the end of that, we're not going to do that stuff anymore. We're going to draw a line in the sand and we're now going to do this from here and end. So it's very much a document around creating change. And that word manifesto, you might be going, hey, yeah, that's really cool, I want to run with that. Or you might be thinking, we're not really out to change the world, maybe I don't need a manifesto. So call it what you will. This is a marketing plan and it's also about creating your future of your business. So we're going to be looking at traditional things like creating a vision and mission. We're going to look at the people that are involved in your organization or your community. And we're also going to look at the results you're going to produce, which are some of the core elements of a traditional marketing plan. We're just going by a few different names here. Put a different spin on it if you like. So the key to this is a document that I wrote a little while ago as part of 1,000 Manifestos or the Manifesto Project. And I started to look at manifestos from the point of view that when I was working with clients, I found that they weren't really clear in what they're up for. And not so much that they hadn't written goals, but what was really missing was they weren't taking a stand for anything. So often I work with, say, speakers, and they were sort of doing nice topics, if you like, But what I really think they needed was a rant where it's like, I really believe this, and I really think I need to make this happen. And it really needed to drive from the passion point of view. And so I started looking at manifestos. There was not a lot of work out there on how to write one. So I came up with my own set of rules called the Manifesto, as you do. So these are the 9 principles of that, and we're going to work through these today because they do parallel what's in a marketing plan, and we do look at that in one of our other webinars. So if you want to go through the list there, you'll see that as well. So it's called How to Create a Marketing Plan That Inspires You. And pretty much how this works is manifestos need to start with the primary thing, which is the idea. And unless you flesh out the idea, you really don't have much to work with. Next, you want to work with the vision. And typically here, you want to have a vision for the future in terms of what you want to create. And you also want to have a vision for what are you trying to end, so that you're trying to have both the toward motivation as well as the away from motivation. And you may find that one of them is stronger than the other. Next piece is to look at the marketplace, and given it's a marketing plan, that's a pretty cool, important part of that. And we look at 3 elements there. One is, who are we as a group? And also, who are the people that we're not trying to attract? And particularly if there's an enemy that we're trying to defeat, which may link back to point 2 above. And also, how are we getting together as a community? And again, you can go back to the other webinar on that topic, which will go through that in a lot more detail. The next section is around results, and typically we work on number 8 there, where we look at the action results there, but we don't necessarily look at the way of being results. And what I mean by way of being is the attitudes or the philosophy or the worldview of how we're actually going to approach things rather than just the doing of it. And I think there's a nice advantage to have both of them in there. And then the final point really is the implementation. And because we're talking about an idea, we're trying to give that idea presence. So if I'm standing here talking to you, or you're listening to this right now, I can actually presence the idea by talking about it. You know, I can say, hey, heard that idea about such and such, and you go, oh yeah, right, okay, and you think about that. But if I walk away and that conversation's not there, then you nothing to present the idea. So we want to build products and services and artifacts and publish information about it and so forth, and that's what point number 9 is all about. So if you want more on that, look at the webinar entitled How to Create a Marketing Plan That Inspires You, and that'll be on the ideasmarketing.com.au website, and look for webinars. The next point, which also reflects a earlier webinar that we did, this one was called The 3 Essential Things to Build in Your Business. And what we're saying is, once you've created a manifesto, you need to turn it into some sort of project or game or campaign, because otherwise all you've got left is some nice words on a bit of paper, and that's not much use to anybody. And in this particular way of thinking about it, we looked at 3 types of capital. So financial capital, ideas capital, and social capital. So if you want to check that one out, there's the address, Ideas Marketing, and you're looking for the webinar around the 3 essential things to build in your business. So let's keep moving on. Today we're talking about curves and ladders. It would have been nice if I'd got snakes and ladders in there, but I guess that red line's almost a snake, so that'll just have to do for today. Questions? No questions today, because this is a recording and there's no live audience, so we can keep moving along. So, the idea is marketing curve. So again, if you want to download the template, there's the address for it. At the least, you want to make sure you've got a pen and a paper with you so that you can actually do this process as we work through it. So the obvious thing is to start with, what are you selling? You know, what are the products and services that are you offering? You know, and I think this is the basic step, because this is almost like the building blocks that we're going to play with. So if you need to, stop the recording and write down a list of all the products and services you offer. And that includes any ones that you're paid for, and also any products or services that you give away. And this could include your blog or your newsletter, or if you're doing things like this, it might be a webinar. So make a list of those. And when you're ready, start the recording again, and we'll go to the next step. And here's the next step. So Hopefully, in the previous slide, you've written down a list of all the things that you offer. So the things that you sell and also give away. And now we want to put a price next to them. So pretty much we want to put them in order from lowest price or free right through to the top price that you charge. And ideally, you want to do this on a month-by-month basis. So if you've got a subscription program, so if you've got a subscription program, you want to put down the monthly offer because that's ultimately what you're going to be selling to people. Okay, so let's introduce the curve, or at least the ideas marketing curve. So two axes. On the vertical axis, we have dollars. On the horizontal axis, we have relationship. And if we add a curve, it's essentially an ascension model, which basically says that as the level of relationship increases, the potential to earn dollars from that relationship increases. So, for example, if you're standing in line at the supermarket checkout and there's a chocolate bar calling out your name, you don't need a lot of relationship to buy something that's maybe $1 or $2. Whereas at the other end of the spectrum, if you're about to buy a new house, you probably want to do a little bit more research about who you're working with and whether you can trust the real estate agent, whether you can trust that the house is what it is, and that sort of stuff. So you need a higher level of relationship to buy a house than you probably do to buy a chocolate bar. And what we're saying is, if you look at those red dots, essentially you can map your products and services on this curve. So for example, the lower one down here, you can say that effectively that's a free product, whereas this one's a low priced product, and this one's starting to get into your premium products. And as soon as you put those products on there, you naturally form price points. And price points are a nice way to think about what are the what's the level of thinking or relationship that's required for someone to buy that at that price. And there's also some psychological price points. You know, there's some hold the view that 47 or 49 is one price point, and then the next price point or natural jump for people is 99. So there's a psychological view that 77 or something like that is an in-between price. And there'll be different people who have different opinions about that. But pretty much we want to look at what are the levels that you'd think about your products. So for example, a free product has a different way of thinking about whether I should do this or not as compared to even something that's a dollar. I mean, and the same way when something's $30, for some people that might be an impulse buy. And then up to $1,000, or you know, you're starting to get into a different way of thinking about whether you should buy the product or not, and that comes down to and impacts this relationship that you need. So the relationship could be with you, with the person selling, or it could be the relationship you have with your money. For example, if you've got oodles of money, $1,000 might be a nice discretionary spend for you. If you don't have a lot of money, well, $100 might be that for you. So here's step three. Grab your pens and paper, and if you need to, stop the recording. So I've said specifically map seven offers. So you might have a product or service business where you have lots and lots of offers. So if you've got more than seven, I think this process starts to get a bit unwieldy. So I would highlight the seven key ones for you. And even that exercise will be useful for you. So stop the recording if you need to. Grab your pen and paper and map your seven offers. So you can see how I've got seven dots on this slide. So put your seven dots on the slide and write down next to the dots what the product offering is, or your service offering, and also the price of it as well. And that'll give us the outline of our ideas marketing curve. And what we'll do next is we'll do some analysis of this. So this is not just a generative process, it's also a tool for analyzing. And that's one of the advantages of making it visual. Okay, so hopefully you've mapped out all your products and services and put up seven offers onto the curve, including the price points up there. Because now we're going to do a couple of levels of analysis. And the first one, and again, we're generalizing here, is as a general idea for many businesses, we need to have three types of segments in our products and service offerings. And the first one is the free one. And with the rise of the digital market, that becomes more important than it's ever been. Then there's the low-end products, and then your high or premium-end products. Next way to analyze it is typically you'll have a virtual offering at the bottom, which could be a digital product, or it could be a virtual seminar like this webinar, or it could be a product full stop. So you might sell them something that's physical, like it could even be a t-shirt or something like that. The next level up involves you and your time. And essentially in this way, if you could think of this as a group presentation. So I might do a webinar for free, and then I might present to a group, but you're going to have to pay for me to actually be there in the room. And then you're going to have to pay a little bit more if you want me to give you one-on-one service. And pretty much this is the business model that I'm working from. So this is Ideas Marketing, where the webinars are the free virtual offering that I do. Then I do a group presentation where I'm actually live in the room, but you don't get me one-on-one, you get me as part of the group. And then my high-end offering is the consulting that I do. So that way you get to work with me one-on-one, plus I get to personalize what I say to your situation. And it makes sense that that would be my premium offer, because clearly I can't do that as easily or as often as I could in terms of the number of people I can impact relative to a workshop. So I could easily get 20, 30, 50, 100 people in a room to run a workshop with, but to do that with 100 people individually would I'd probably be dead tired as well as stressed and overworked at that point. So you want to make sure you're getting paid the premiums where you're spending the time, and it's the least leverage for you as well. But also hopefully that's where the greatest impact, you know, I can add more value one-on-one than I can as a workshop. So there's different value propositions there as well. So one of the keys to starting this process is to look at what's your Rolls Royce. And what I mean by that is, what's your premium offer? And it may not be the one that you earn the most money from. For example, if you're a trainer, you may love doing training, but not so keen on the coaching. So you might make more money per hour doing coaching, but you might find doing training is more enjoyable. And you may even say that being able to present to 100 people at once may be more profitable. So it's not necessarily your highest priced item. And also might be, you want to consider that it's the most strategic offering. So for example, if I was building, so let's say made up example, webinars were the key piece platform for me to everything else I sold, I might consider that my premium offering, even though it's not necessarily my highest price, or in this case, even though it might be that I don't sell it at all. So what's your Rolls Royce? Because this is almost like the tide, where we're going to measure from this up and downwards on your curve. And we'll go through that in a moment. The next question is, what's your Ford? So if a Rolls Royce is your premium offering, what's your next best offering? So Fords are pretty good cars. Don't have one, never driven one. But they're a pretty good offering. They're good, and they're just not great. So what's your mid-level offering? And next is, if you're familiar with Melbourne, you may be aware that this Melbourne have trams. I live in Melbourne, in Victoria, Australia. So there's a tram that goes around the city, and it's called the City Circle Tram. It's basically a tourist tram, and they play a neat little recording inside pointing out all the fabulous things you're going past on the streetscape, and essentially it's free. So this is the idea, a free offering starts to seed the rest of your offering. So for example, again, this webinar, it's a free offering, and so you get to see a sample of me at work and whether I can help you with your ideas by the way that I talk about it, and even whether you'd like to work with me, because you might go, oh my God, that guy's such a, and I'm just not for you. Alternatively, this is a way to do a free sample if you like. So what's your seed? And the next piece we want to start to look at is some of the segments inside of those groupings. So if you look at the curve, and we went back to free, low and high, or we did virtual, group and premium, there's possibly going to be a couple of offerings in each of those segments. So, for example, from a free perspective, my general recommendation for most businesses is that they have a blog. So you'd have a website, you'd have a blog as part of that and as part of you publishing and talking about what you do. And you'd also have a newsletter. And the difference between a blog and a newsletter in this context is that I can visit your website and view your blog without you knowing, so I can be anonymous around that. Or alternatively, I can do an RSS feed and I can subscribe to your blog but still remain anonymous. Whereas the next step up on the relationship is if I give you my email address, then you'll send me your newsletter. So you can see that that's a different level of relationship. Quite subtle. One is I can get the same or similar information, but I don't have to give you anything or identify myself. And the other one is as simple as giving you my email address. But it is a different type of relationship from there. And that's an important distinction in your web strategy about the difference between your blog and your newsletter. And this leads us on to this next idea around what are the free offerings that you do. And generally the principle that you want to be looking at is low cost to you, high value to your customers. And we're going to be talking about this in a future webinar. We're going to do a book wrapper version of Chris Anderson's book, Free. Because I think that's probably the best resource on this at the moment. So at the moment, we're just going to touch on this. But if you want more information, have a look at our website and the free to fee webinar. So three examples. First one is to look at what's the digital product that you give away here. So, for example, you might have an ebook that you could be. So, if you sold vacuum cleaners, it might be an ebook on how to repair your vacuum cleaner, or how to get the most value out of it, or how to maintain it, something like that. A free sample. If you've been to the supermarket, they often give out free samples of food, so that way you taste it and you get to decide: do I like this? Do I want it? Do I want to buy it or not? Similarly, a test drive in a motor car is a way of giving a free sample or giving your customer an experience of what your big offer would be. So, for example, this webinar is a way to sample what I do around my workshops and how I like to present and the ideas that I talk about. And then the other version is a light version. So the classic example on that is Skype. A lot of us have the download Skype. And whenever we call other computers via the internet, essentially our calls are free. So that's the light version. And the premium version is if I want to call someone from my computer to their phone or their mobile phone, I have to pay for that. So you get light and premium. So that's actually the freemium model, but that's another story. So there's a couple of ways to consider your free offers. So often I'm asked, where does social media fit into your business? And this is where I think it fits. It's the seed for your other offerings. That's a generalization. By all means, yes, you could be making money from social media, particularly if you're running a membership site or you're doing paid webinars or something like that. But as a general guide, you're going to have some of your social media efforts are going to be seed for your other offers. For example, I might tweet, which is essentially free on Twitter, and I might do some general tweets on all sorts of topics and provide some insights and value to people. And I also might use that as a promotional tool, which I do, to promote the webinars that are coming up. So think about your social media. It could be free and it could also be fee. And I think also that's the seed that'll probably be at the lower end of your curve there. So give that some thought. So what are your price points? Are there any gaps? So when you map your products and services on there and you notice the prices, often what happens is someone, particularly say, let's use an example of a coach or a high-level consultant, have one client who bills generally around $100,000 projects. So he doesn't have a lot of low-end products, and you might even argue that maybe he shouldn't, and that might be the case also. In a different scenario, you might have a coach, and their high-end offering, they might do, let's say they're a premium coach to CEOs, they might charge $5,000 for 10 one-hour sessions. But they may have not many offers below that. So it makes it hard for me to find out where that person's for me because I can't really sample them. So in this case, you might have a $100 webinar, you might have a one-off for a 1 hour coaching session by itself for $500 and so forth, so you can build up the different scales. But you just want to look and see, is there any obvious gaps that you're looking at? And this will depend on your particular business. So for example, if you're doing high-end work, then having high-end prices might work for you. So therefore, your lowest price might be $500. Whereas if you're targeting a different market, you might have a whole bunch of products that sell for $30 or $50 or $100 and then get into your 500s and thousands of dollars. So just do a quick analysis and see if there's any price points or gaps in your market, because you might find you need to add a product or service just to enable people to step up through the curve. Because what we're saying is, if you meet someone let's say you're at a cocktail party and you meet someone for the first time, the odds of them just saying, hey, love you, want to buy your work, here's $10,000, are probably slim. It'd be nice if it happened, but generally it doesn't. So you can relate to this relationship curve or ascension model as being a bit like getting married. You don't get married on the first date. But if the first date goes well, you might go on a second date. And if the second date goes well, you might meet the potential in-laws and it all goes from there. And this is what the model is suggesting, having a series of steps where a customer can be led through the conversation. If they want to jump straight in at $500 or $1,000, absolutely fine. We're not going to say no to that. We're just expecting that they're more likely to start at a lower price point. And that's the principle of the relationship curve. One of the things you might find in your mapping is that there's an overlap. So here's an example from my own situation. So I run a workshop, the Ideas Marketing Workshop. We run that as a group. We have about 10 people in each workshop, and we charge $450 per person to be in that workshop for the day. And equally, if you want to actually step, the transition point from going from group to personal is actually the same price. So you may have a price that actually is overlap. So you can either come to the workshop for a day and be part of the group of 10 or so people, or you can pay me for 1 hour of my time and get an individual session with me. And as you can see, it's actually a step sideways. So they get a customer may be used to providing or paying for the workshop, and then it's more easy for them to just go, okay, now I'm going to up the stakes, and it's the similar price point. So just see if you need to map something on there at the same price, that's actually okay. You just don't want to have too many of them. And at least they want to be at the junction of a couple of those segments we talked about before. So the free, the low, and the high, or the virtual, the group, and the personal. So you can see here, this is an example of an overlap of between the group and the personal split. So if there are questions here at this point, that's when you could ask, but given this is a recording, we won't do that. We'll skip past that. But at least there's our Facebook page if you want some more information about this webinar or some of the future ones coming up. So when we start with the marketing curve, there's like a second obvious step to this, and this is the Ideas Marketing Ladder. And this is the second page of the template that hopefully you've downloaded at the start of this webinar. And very simply, it's a ladder. So what do you do with ladder? Well, you start at the bottom and you take small steps until you get to the top. And that mimics the idea of the ascension curve and the products and the price points that we've put on it, except it just takes a slightly different chunk on it. So here's an example, seven things that I've mapped across from my business. So I start at the social media end, go through to consulting and retainers. And then what we want to do is put your offers on there. So if you need to, stop the recording and pull out the template on the second page of that printout, and you can actually write in the seven offers that you put on your marketing curve from before. And when you've done with that, you can rejoin the recording. So welcome back. Hopefully you've mapped out your offers onto the ladder as we asked, because now we want to add another layer. So we want to know what the tactics are. What are you going to do to attract people to your offer? And I think the simple way I'd say it, so given we've got seven offers, if we simply had three tactics for each offer, that would be pretty powerful, because that would give us 21 tactics to do. And any more than that would probably start to get a bit unwieldy, as well as this way it'll keep our focus nice and tight. And as we said before, your previous offer also becomes your tactic for your next offer. So for example, I might have tactics inside of how to get people to sign up for my newsletter, plus one of the things that I'm going to put in my newsletter is an advertisement and an invitation for my webinar. So you've got some very broad, if you like, the macro or the big picture chunks. So each offer becomes a tactic to onsell your next offer, as well as the tactics inside of each of those offers. So it becomes a really robust model, because each lower rung on the ladder and on your curve is reinforcing and promoting the higher level rungs as well. Pardon me. So for example, shortly at the end of this webinar, I'll give you an invite to my workshop and also to the next webinar, so you can see how they reinforce each other.
Okay.
Also, you can see how there's a layering here of, so I've color-coded this from the groupings that we had earlier. So in my case, social media, newsletters, and webinars are virtual and free products and offerings. An online course that I'm building at the moment and the workshop are group offerings. An online course could be seen as a virtual offer as well, but they're part of my low-paying offer. And then the high end are the consulting and the retaining offers that I do with the services. Oops. And you can see also that's when I start to put in some of the tactics around what I'm doing. So there's three tactics there around social media for me. The first one is the blog, Twitter, and Facebook. And then when I do that, that'll be about inviting people to come and join my newsletter, or the blog and Twitter and Facebook will also be talking about the webinar. So you can see how they start to reinforce each other. And you get also much tighter tactics. So you'll see the general one about social media for Facebook is that I might put things in about Facebook, and then in particular, I'll have a very specific sign-up page on Facebook for the newsletter. So this brings us to step two on your marketing ladder, ideas marketing ladder, and here's your chance to write down three tactics which go with each of your offer. One thing you might like to do here is write down more than three, but then come back if you're going to do that and make sure you edit it back to three. Because again, you've already got seven offers that are going to reinforce and on-sell the next level up. So that's one level that we're playing in. So you don't want to write down 10 tactics for each of them, because it'll just get ridiculous. So if you had seven offers and three tactics on that, you're looking at over 20 actions that you're taking on a regular basis to build the overall and sell your overall products. And that should be sufficient for any business. Again, if you do have questions, I know this is a recording, but you might want to post them on either our Twitter page or on our Twitter page, or even send me an email, which I'll give you the email address shortly. So, what's next? Well, I think the first thing you do want to do is actually complete your graph. So, if you haven't already, map your offers. Put your offers and their prices on the market ideas marketing curve. And the same thing you want to do on your ideas marketing ladder. Put your offers down and also complete your tactics. And then what I suggest is go back and have a look at your website, because I think what this process generally brings up when I've shown it with clients and customers is that they then can have a look at their website and just see, oh, okay, I set up this was going to lead to this and this was going to lead to this. And often what people say is, oh yeah, newsletter. And then you'll find they don't even have a sign up box on their newsletter. So use this as a way to check where you're at. So you can go back and say, okay, I think I need a blog or a newsletter. I better go and put that back in. So go and review your website. And given this is intended to be a visual marketing plan, and the original goal was not to have it on your computer or inside your drawer, let's get it up on your wall. You know, you can have your curve up on your wall, and you can also have your ladder up on the wall, and you can use them to advance, to remind yourself of what are you building and where you're trying to directionalize action. On the live webinar, at this point we did a poll to find out what our next webinar is, and I'll tell you a funny story in a minute. So we asked people to respond to the three choices for our next webinar. The first choice was how to create your big idea in depth, and we did that in a subsequent webinar. We also asked if you wanted to design a game around your business to make it a bit more exciting. We haven't done that one as yet. And we also have an offer around what are the top 10 products you need to create, and we haven't done that one as yet. But the funny thing was, I asked the question. I was all excited because I had a good number of people on the webinar, and they all fed into, and the poll went beautifully, and I got all the answers, except all the answers were the same. I think there was about six or seven people that answered for all three. So it was actually equal. So even though I did the poll, there was no real response from it. So it was a nice idea. It did work. We just didn't get the answer we wanted. So there'll be some topics for the future as well. Otherwise, check on the ideasmarketing.com.au website to see some of the recordings and the like of our previous events. So that was your chance to vote. And here's the ad that I was talking about, so you can see how I use webinars. One way is to then promote the next events, but also what I'm trying to encourage on my Ascension model is, if you've liked this webinar and you think that you could work with me or listen to me for a day, and you think that I've got something that might help you in your business, then you could come to our workshop. So this next one, Melbourne, 14th of October, how to design, build and sell your idea. $450 is the full price. We were offering an early bird, that's now closed. So if you do want to come, that's our regular price, $450. And for the next couple of workshops, or at least this workshop, we get a free bonus of that, where I give you an ideas hour as well. So that's normally worth $450 by itself. So effectively, you're getting $900 value for the price of one of those. So if you want to come along, or you want more information, ideasmarketing.com.au/workshops. We'll find out when our next one is on and where it's located. And if you need more on webinars, or there's my email address if you want to contact me. And I want to leave you with a final thought. So if you want to really learn how to do this ideas marketing curve and the ideas marketing ladder, by all means do it for yourself. And then once you've done that, go and teach it to someone else. And by teaching it with someone else, you'll generally get a lot more of the nuances around how to do this. You'll learn more and they'll get value from your relationship as well. So that's all for today. Thanks for listening in, and hope to have you with us on a future webinar or even at our workshop. So that's all for today. Thanks. Bye.